Psalm 31, to the chief musician, a psalm of David. In you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness.
Incline your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense. Save me.
For you are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me.
Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength.
Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth.
I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord.
I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble. You have known my soul in adversity.
And have not shut me up from the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place.
Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away with grief. Yes, my soul and my body.
For my life is spent with grief, and my ears with sighing. My strength fails because of my iniquity, and my bones waste away.
I am a reproach among all my enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances. Those who see me outside flee from me.
I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel.
For I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side. While they take counsel together against me, they scheme to take away my life.
But as for me, I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God.
My times are in your hand. Deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me.
Make your face shine upon your servants. Save me for your mercy's sake.
Do not let me be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon you. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave.
Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous.
Oh, how great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men.
You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of men. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of them.
Blessed be the Lord, for he has shown me his marvelous kindness in a strong city.
For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before your eyes. Nevertheless, you heard the voice of my supplications when I cried out to you.
Oh, love the Lord, all you his saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person.
Be of good courage, and you shall strengthen your heart.
Okay, here in Psalm 31, we have a nice long psalm, which I certainly won't be able to do justice today. We have another psalm in this series that we've been talking about, this series of psalms of David, surely written by David. But David, in the place acting as a prophet, as he wrote the words of Jesus Christ for the people of the church of that day and the people of this day. It begins, in you, O Jehovah, I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be my rock of refuge and a fortress of defense to save me. Now this, of course, is a proper prayer for any of God's children who find themselves in trouble. And of course, in the covenant, we can trust the Father to answer this prayer positively for any of his children. As it goes on, for you are my rock and my fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. I want to stop and look at that center, the second line of that trio there, therefore for your name's sake. Now we all, in English, have come to think that God is God's name. But that's not what that word means. The word God is just a thing, like chair, dog, pew, person, God. His name is Jehovah, Yahweh. That's the name that he gave his people to call him. That's the covenant name the name in which he invokes the covenant of grace. So when we have the psalmist, when we have Jesus, "For you are my rock and fortress, therefore for your name's sake, lead me and guide me." This isn't just calling upon our Father in heaven to lead us and guide us because he loves us, although that's certainly true. It's not calling him to help us because we need help, although that's certainly appropriate. But what we have here is something really a lot deeper, something a lot more full that we need to think about. And that is that the psalmist here, and us when we pray properly, is calling upon the covenant of grace. And not just the covenant of grace, but as God's name relates to the covenant of grace. "Therefore, for your name's sake, so that God's holiness, his righteousness, his love, his mercy, all the attributes of God that he has wrapped up in this covenant of grace, his mercy, can be seen, can be praised, and is there for the people of God to call upon." Now, going on from there, the psalmist echoes some familiar language. "Pull me out of the net which they have secretly laid for me, for you are my strength." This metaphor, this thought of a net as a trap, as a snare, we find all through Scripture. So the wicked ones have laid to put out a net, and we're asking, or the psalmist is asking for the Father to pull him out, "for you are my strength." Now, verse 5 ought to be very familiar language. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Jehovah, God of truth." Now, who has said these words? Where have we heard this before? This is what we hear, what we read, what they heard after Jesus said, "It is finished." After the covenant of grace has been finally, definitively purchased, after the covenant of grace has been fulfilled on the cross, Jesus, hanging there, says, "Into your hand I commit my spirit." And the thought there is continued here is, "You have redeemed me," and the word is to buy back. "You have rescued me. You have pulled me back into the covenant, O Lord, O Jehovah, God of truth." Now, the attributes of God are never mentioned in the Psalms or anywhere else in a capricious or arbitrary fashion. Whenever we see the Lord mentioned as God of something, well, that something relates to what's being spoken of. And again here, this is a description, this is a covenantal verse, and we need to understand that. "Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, God of truth." Now here we have Jesus in the psalm telling the people of God back in those days that the covenant will be successfully purchased. And today as we sing this, if we sing the first part, well, we won't. If we were to sing this part, we would be singing of Jesus crying out on the cross, that "It is finished, and into your hands I commit my spirit." Now moving on, I'm going to have to move along a little quicker here. I wanted to get that base done, that everybody would understand. This is not, again, the song of an ancient king back in the day. This is the song of our Redeemer. "I have hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in your mercy, for you have considered my trouble." Now we should think of the prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, where Jesus is praying to the Father. Heart-rending prayer. Spirit-led prayer, Spirit-full prayer, but prayer from the Son of God to the Father. And it's prayer where we know that the Father hears the prayer. And Jesus knew that the Father would hear his prayer. But still, the Father knew his adversities. And Jesus, here in this, is saying, "You have not shut me up in the hand of the enemy. You have set my feet in a wide place." And that, again, is a sentence that we've heard in other places in Scripture. In other psalms, psalms that are obviously messianic, we read where, "You have set my feet in a wide place." Now, looking at verse 6, "I've hated those who regard useless idols, but I trust in the Lord." Now, the Psalms are not pre-Christian or sub-Christian. They are the Word of God. And here we have God in His Word telling us that it's simply not true that God hates the sin but loves the sinner. For here we have God Himself saying that He hates idolaters. "I will be glad in..." I've already read that. Moving on. Verse 9 and on, "Have mercy, O Lord, for I am in trouble. My eye wastes away. My life is spent in grief. My years with sighing. My strength fails. My bones waste. I am a reproach among my enemies, especially among my neighbors, and am repulsive to my acquaintances." And we know that Jesus, as He was led away to be crucified, all these things were true. We know that the world, when they see Jesus properly presented, the world is horrified and they see nothing of value. "I am forgotten like a dead man, out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I hear the slander of many. Fear is on every side." In verse 11, "Those who see me outside flee from me." Anybody ever see Ben-Hur? The old version the one with Charlton Heston. You remember the ladies in the street, the lepers, where everybody ran? In the Old Testament, those of you who studied Old Testament typology, you know that leprosy was used as a type, as a sign of sin. That sin would be brought out visible upon the body and that people would know to flee from it. Leprosy very much was typical of sin. And here we have Jesus being seen as a leper, repulsive so that those who see me outside flee from me. He was unclean as He bore our sins. But the tone of this now changes in verse 14. "As for me, I trust in You, O Jehovah. I say, You are my God. My times are in Your hands." He knows that he can rest on the Father. Even though things are going to be ugly, things are going to be bad, his times are in the hands of the Father. And that once the covenant is secure, once God's purposes are fulfilled, then He will deliver me from the hand of my enemies and from those who persecute me. Verse 16, again, a familiar line, hopefully, and one that you should really think upon because it's very significant. "Make Your face shine upon Your servant. Save me for Your mercy's sake." The phrase, "make Your face shine," is not just a happy phrase. It's not just a phrase, well, maybe let God smile upon you. It's not what this person is saying. That is the covenantal blessing. The blessing that the priest in the temple, standing in the place of Jesus, would deliver to the people of God as they are forgiven, typically through the sacrifice, ultimately through Jesus Christ. As they are forgiven, as their sins are paid for, as they are dismissed in the grace of God, they hear this. "Make Your face shine upon you. May His face shine upon you." But here we have the servant saying, "Make Your face shine upon Your servant." Because the face of the Father has to shine upon the Son before it can shine upon the people. Moving on, "Do not let me be ashamed, for I have called upon You. Let the wicked be ashamed. Let them be silent in the grave. Let lying lips be put into silence, which speak insolent things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous." Imprecatory speech. There's a big word for you children. Imprecatory speech or curses from God's Word are appropriate for the people of God in certain circumstances. It is always appropriate that those who reject God would be punished, would be rejected by God, that they would be put down so that the people of God may prosper. Verse 19 and on, "How great is Your goodness, which You have laid up, which You have prepared in the presence of the sons of men." We see that God is praised, God is blessed, that the psalmist has the faith to thank God for what he's going to do instead of waiting for Him to have done it. Verse 21 on, "Blessed be the Lord, for He has shown me His marvelous kindness in a strong city." Now, what is the strong city when we hear the Scriptures? It speaks of Jerusalem, of course. And in today's life, when we speak of the strong city, we think of the city of God, which is the church upon the earth. And the last two verses are rich prayers. The last two verses are things that we should remember. This is Jesus saying to the Father in the context of redemption, "Oh, love Jehovah, love Yahweh, all you His saints, for the Lord preserves the faithful and fully repays the proud person. Be of good courage." Now, how many here have been discouraged lately? How many here have felt that nothing much is going on in life, or what is bad, and things are going downhill, and things are just getting worse, and I don't know if God listens or hears me or sees me, and I've got all these... Okay, let me rephrase that. Who hasn't felt that recently. Well, God tells us, the Son of God tells us through the Scriptures, be of good courage, and He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in Jehovah. So here's the question. Who are you and where are you? Are you with the proud person that He's going to fully repay? Are you with the ones He's going to cast into hell? Let lying lips be put into silence. Are you the wicked to be ashamed? Or are you one who is resting upon the Son of God, one of the saints of Christ, one of the holy ones of Israel? For the Lord preserves the faithful. That's a promise. He shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. There's a promise. Psalm 31 is a psalm of Jesus, as most, if not all of them are. And appropriate for the people of God to sing in prayer, in praise, and in remembrance. But above all, to thank the Father for the covenant of grace, and thank the Son for purchasing it, and thank the Spirit for applying it. So let us sing Psalm 31, and we'll sing part E.